Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Telling you, walk by a mirror, and I looked in the mirror, and some days I go, man, I look like hell. Other days I go, you know what, I look better than I feel. Which one of those two things is better? Would you rather look better than you feel or feel better than you look? I don't know. And you're not vain if you say, hey, I want to look better than I feel. I don't think that's the worst thing. Jonathan Smith, fresh off a win over Hawaii, Oregon State coach, joining us. Is it better to look better than you feel or feel better than you look?
Well, yeah, I want to feel better than I look. I know that. Gray hair, starting to bald. I'm only 42 years old. I look like I'm 55. I mean,
That's how you start an interview, man. That's awesome. That's revealing, though, because we all relate to that, right? Sometimes I look up and I expect to see myself at age 28, and I just go, whoa, what happened?
Yeah, I've seen myself in the mirror. I've seen some pictures now. You know, you'll catch a picture, whatever, in the media or I'll look at myself and think the same thing.
Hey, great win. You guys put up some points. Offense looked good. How did you feel? Initial takeaways. Before you watched film, how did you feel?
Yeah, I felt like offensively they did play well, efficient, especially in the second half. Got out to the early lead, but in the second half, there's moments in that game it could have turned on us, but we were effective offensively answering some scores. And, you know, quarterback played pretty well, had the running game going, so was pleased with it.
Yeah, Chance Nolan gets the start. He very efficient. When you look at his numbers, really good, 300-yard passing game. What did you see from him in practice that made you say he's my guy this week?
Yeah, he was dialed in practice. You know, the ball's coming off his hand well. I think he's got some confidence with his receivers, multiple guys, and that played out in the first half. I mean, he came out throwing a bunch of completions. Those guys were making some plays for him. And so throughout the week that was taking place. We made the call on Chance on Thursday after practice. And just kind of the body of work from the week / the little bit of momentum that Chance gave us in the second half against Purdue kind of made the decision for us and went with him. And, yeah, he played well.
Is it week to week with your quarterback, or do you now say, okay, it's Chance, it's your job net for now? Or how do you approach that?
Yeah, Chance is going to start and play, and we do have multiple guys we have confidence in, and so if that gets to a place where we feel like we need a spark or something, not hesitant to put Sam Noyer back in there. And so really, game two was similar to game one in regards we had a starter, but if we needed a spark, we're going to bring the other guy in, and we just didn't need a spark the second game.
Can you help us with Jack Coletto? Like, what kind of kid is he? He's so much fun to watch. Every time I look up, he's in the game in one way or another somehow, and he's doing something gritty.
Yeah. The guy is ultra competitive. He's really smart. You know, he's dedicated to the task. Like, he dove in and started with the quarterback thing and worked really hard at that. Then wanted to move over to linebacker a couple years into it. And now, I mean, you could make a case this guy's the most valuable guy on our team because he's affecting special teams. He's ready on defense, has played some. And then obviously offensively putting him in the game, not just at quarterback, using him a little bit as the second tight end or fullback looking. And he's awesome. I know our guys like it a bunch when he gets in on offense, and he's got some leadership to him, the way he goes about things.
We asked Bruce Barnum yesterday to give us a scout on Idaho. He said defense. He said they've got two defensive players who will play in the NFL. He said they move around. They try to confuse you. They'll scout you well. What do you see when you see Idaho on defense?
Yeah, similar. I mean, they got a defensive lineman well over 300 pounds that is physical at the line of scrimmage. He's got an inside backer who's making a bunch of tackles. They got a defensive coordinator who I know well, worked with him at Montana for a couple of years, Mike Bresky, and he can scheme you and pressure you and does a good job. They're pretty sound that way. So this is a good outfit coming in. I mean, there's no, you know, looking past these guys type thing around here. I mean, we've been focused in, and I think our guys have, recognizing. I mean, you look at our staff, majority of our coaches have coached at the Big Sky level, at the FCS level. And you know, so our coaches are speaking the language, how big a game this is and how quality the coaches and players are.
You put 45 up on Hawaii. You got your run game going. Do you feel, how good did you feel about that? Because I know that was a point of emphasis for you in camp.
Yeah, it was big. I mean, we needed to find some balance, needed to be explosive in the run game. And I think, you know, after that first half, we did. We gained some confidence offensively, moved the ball really well, did a decent job on third down, too. A couple things on third down. One, converting, obviously, but also staying away from the third and real long, so we have some manageable third downs. And so that's close to the identity we want to have, of balance, efficient but explosive, protecting the passer. And, you know, that's just one game. Just like the narrative changes each week, we got to be able to put multiple games together like that.
I'm looking at, you know, you win this game, you're 2-1, and I know last year you didn't start 2-1, and 2 years ago you didn't start 2-1. What would that mean for you to go into conference play with a winning record?
Yeah, I think it's big. I mean, you want to win every game, and it is the last kind of non-conference game. You want to come out of non-conference feeling confident, playing well. And so we got an opportunity to do that Saturday because, I mean, look at this conference. It's going to be competitive week in and week out. We're definitely notching at least 2 wins at a non-conference would be big for us.
Yeah, I look at that. I don't think you've started 2-1. You've been 1-2, 1-2. Like, you know, I think that you got some house money going in there. Defensively, you felt good after week one. How did you feel after week two?
Yeah, not great. I mean, we get a nice lead and kind of allowed them to stay around in the second half. We've got to be better on third down. These guys were lights out against us on third down, like 9 of 16, and a lot of those were third and longer plays. I mean, look, we started great. We got a couple of takeaways. I mean, the thing's 31-7 right after the start of the second half, but then I thought we just kind of, you know, messed around for a little while where we could have really put it out of reach.
I had predicted 50 points. You got 45. What happened on the one called back? Because people are telling me it was a phantom. You know, should I have a beef with the Pac-12 on this, or do we want to stay away from that?
Well, we didn't have Pac-12 officials there.
Oh, there you go.
Mountain West officials, which they were solid. I mean, I've seen that called, and I've seen that not called on the holding. That was a great play by Bradford. I didn't help you out either. We had a fourth and three, I think, from our own 9 that we could have gone for, but we kicked a field goal instead.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Makes me look dumb on that. Jonathan Smith is with us, Oregon State football coach. It's so weird because you do get that. You get people predicting your games. You get all this outside noise, but it's you alone with your team. Is that when you're having the most fun? Are you having fun in practice? Are you having fun during the games as you're calling a game? When are you looking around going, this is just joyful?
Yeah, you know, when the game's going well and guys are making plays. Like, it was fun for me watching Anthony Gould. The guy's been here a couple of years, worked really hard, you know, hasn't been in the lineup a ton, to come out and have a great game for his first, you know, catch his first touchdown, goes for 100 yards in the first half. And just knowing the backstory of him, recruiting him, watching his work ethic every day, and then to have some success, that was genuinely fun for me. I do. We enjoy getting around each other and practicing and team meetings and having some laughs. Like, even Tuesday morning, kind of put it up, like, team vote for what we want to wear jersey-wise. Hope Saturday you guys had some fun, kick out of that. And that's what's beautiful about football, man. It's not just those Saturday 60 minutes of football. It's the bus rides, airplanes, team meetings, position meetings, all of it's good.
How are you feeling health-wise just as a team? Because I know sometimes a non-conference can cost you, but guys that you're going to need down the road. How are you at this point?
Right. You know, I mean, solid. I think everybody across the country has a guy or two they wish they had, and we're no different. We're missing, you know, you'd love to have Tristan healthy right now. I think Elijah Jones, our corner that we recruited, hasn't played a ton yet. It should be good to go this weekend. It'd be a nice help. But I think we're solid. Nothing that we can't overcome and feel like we can put healthy bodies out there.
The week one, you know, Purdue defensively gave your offensive line some challenges. Did you feel like you guys shored that up in week two?
I mean, we played better. We definitely protected the passer well. I mean, that scheme that Todd Graham runs is not easy to always recognize. And I thought they did do a good job of that, recognizing we didn't have a bunch of free runners at the quarterback. I mean, we only had 2 negative plays. And so that starts with the O-line being on the right right page. So they did some good things there. And, you know, there's always areas you can improve and movements, and we got a couple penalties and this and that, but they were definitely better than week one.
Anybody who's paid attention to you knows that you, in the second half of games, you guys have been a second half team, at least last year, year before. You were much better in the second half than in the first half. Do you, is that a halftime adjustment thing? Are you, you're obviously adjusting during the game as well, but how are those slight adjustments you're making during the game and bigger adjustments at halftime, or how does that work for you?
Right. You know, I do think that, you know, our coaching staff, we get some sharp guys. And so we get in there at halftime and they're able to articulate pretty quickly, hey, I think we should get to this or stay away from that. We should get to this play call or adjust this coverage. I do think we've got that going a little bit. And then I also think our team recognizes in college football, this game is so long. I mean, TV timeouts, the clock stops going out of bounds, game first, it's just a long game. And so they're aware that, you know, the meaningful moments are going to be in the second half. And hopefully they continue to rise to play their best in the fourth quarter.
I saw some of your offensive linemen told Nick Daschle of the Oregonian that, you know, they weren't happy after even after the win over Hawaii. As a coach, do you like that when your guys are going, we're not happy with the performance?
Yeah, I mean, that's a veteran group you're talking about. And I think they got really high expectations for themselves. I think some of it is the penalty end. They got accused a couple of times. And, you know, a couple of them were on the old line. But that's the type of group we got down there. They want to play at the highest level, and they always know they can get better.
I think they could be more – I think you're more physical than you've shown, like those guys.
I like that part. We can be physical, and we've shown some more than maybe in years previous. I do think our tight ends make a difference on that too, because a lot of our run game does. Whether the tight ends on the front side or the back side, they're a part of it. And with Teagan and Luke playing the way they are, it can look physical at the line.
All right, you got Idaho on Saturday for people who want to check out the game. 12:30 kickoff. You like that? You like the 12:30?
Oh, yeah, without question. 12:30, wake up, brush your teeth, and get over here and play. Excited about having the crowd back around, man. 12:30 kick. And it was fun last weekend. You know, our student section was great, but 8 o'clock's not ideal for everybody. But 12:30 is pretty good. Come on down here and get home at a decent hour.
All right, so help me out with something, because you know my oldest will be moving into the dorms there on Sunday. She's doing her move-in, and she's still trying to get me to let her bring her car. I'm saying no car, at least initially. You were a student there. You work on campus. Does my kid need a car, or should she be on foot and on a bike?
Yeah, she's not going to be a fan, but that's how I had to do it my first year. I was on a bike, living in the dorm.
Yeah,
and then my second year I did end up getting the car. Now I did have the value, I guess, of being on a football team and making immediate friends of who had cars to get around when I needed it.
Yeah.
But no, first year, no car.
No car. I'm with you. All right, Jonathan Smith says no car. She's getting no car. I appreciate it. Hey, I'll see you at the game. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in Idaho. You've been in the Big Sky. You know you can't take them lightly, and they have, you know, they've done some damage to the Pac-12 already this season.
There's no question. I mean, I've been at Idaho. I spent 6 years there. And then you do look at even the first 2 weeks, FCS versus the FBS, there's been 8 wins for the FCS in 2 weekends. And we talked about this within the team. I mean, 3 of those wins are from the Big Sky. Montana wins, Eastern Washington wins, UC Davis wins. I mean, if Florida State can go down, anybody can go down. And so, obviously, we're approaching it with knowing we're going to have to play well.
All right. Good luck to you. I will see you at the stadium.
Awesome. Thanks, John.
All right, Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach, helping me out in my household. She's good with not having the car, but she keeps asking, you know, hey, Dad, maybe I do need the car. And I'm like, no, it's just you need to be on your feet. You need to be on a bike. You need to walk uphill to class, if there is such a thing in Corvallis. All right, Idaho, Oregon State, 12:30 kick on Saturday. Ducks playing Stony Brook at Autzen Stadium. Vikings playing against Western Oregon out at Hillsboro Stadium. There's going to be a ton of college football in our state on Saturday. I hope you get a chance to see a game. If you're a follower of me on Twitter, you have a chance to win Beavers and Ducks tickets. If you look at my Twitter, pinned to the top of my profile page is a tweet that says, I've got Beavers, Vikings, and Ducks tickets this season. I still have 4 Oregon State Idaho tickets to give away. I gave away the Ducks tickets this morning to a follower there. It comes with no catch. You just go enjoy the game, sit in the good seats, have fun. I do require one thing. I guess there is a catch. I want you to take a picture at the game and tweet it. Say, I'm at the football game. I like seeing that. All right, leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. If you follow me on Twitter, follow at John Canzano BFT. If you don't follow, you should be following. You can win tickets. If you get blocked or muted, you're not getting the tickets, by the way. That's the only disqualification. Leave it here. I do have 4 tickets to the Oregon State-Idaho game. Make sure you're following me on social media. I just randomly will select somebody, and I usually look for a Beaver fan if it's Beaver tickets, or Duck fan if it's Duck tickets, but not always. Like, sometimes you can't tell. Some people don't fly the flag in front of the house. Most people don't fly the flag in front of the house, by the way. And by the way, I'm seeing a lot of Oregon flags in front of houses right now. Human nature. Not surprised. Not surprised. You're hearing a lot of people. Like, it was interesting. Like, I don't want to gloat too much because I'm going to be wrong at some point, and I don't want to get stomped. But I thought it was really interesting that, you know, I predicted Oregon would beat Ohio State. Zach predicted Oregon would beat Ohio State. Others did not, but I thought it was really interesting that we didn't get a lot of people who called in Monday and Tuesday to be like, hey.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.